The opinions of Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman don't reflect the views of Gal Media. Parental discretion is advised. KFNC Mont Belvieu, Houston, a Gal Media station.
Apparently, you can't say anything in this world anymore. And I don't know what's going on with Arian Foster and Dwayne Brown, but I want to hear about it. Let's do this. It's a Thursday on The Blitz.
And here we go.
From the renterswarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And The Blitz is on for Thursday. Welcome to the greatest show in the history of the known universe with me, Fred Fowler, the Falcon, A.J. Hoffman, the role model, Zhong Li, the bleeping master. If you want to get in today, 713-780-3776. Is your number. You can also hit us up on the Blitz Facebook page. Find the Blitz, click like, you're good to go. There's also Twitter at Fred Fowler, F-A-O-U-R, at AJ is the real, at Jon Snow with a zero, not an O, at Degenerates 975. You can also text the show at 713-780-3776. And it's a Thursday. Boy, we're almost to the weekend. It's gonna be a fun day tomorrow. We're gonna be out at Sam Houston Race Park.
Oh yes.
Day one of the ban is going okay. I'm surviving.
Yeah.
So
proud of you.
Well, it's only been, it's been more than 24 hours. Yeah.
That's good.
Yeah. It's
24 hours already?
Because 9 o'clock last night was, 24.
Okay.
No,
not
no,
24.
It's been, 9 o'clock last night was my last one.
Okay.
So
it's 19 hours.
We're getting there.
Now,
we'll survive.
What's been the hardest part? Was it like when you woke up?
No. The hardest part was like, it's just the little times, like after I watch a show, I'd go out on my balcony and have one and just sit out there and have a, and so today I had a cup of coffee with it. And I went out there and had a cup of coffee. I like going out on the balcony and just seeing stuff, it's so the adjustment was, I was telling you before the show, instead of smoking a cigarette, every time I felt like I needed one, I'd drink a full glass of water. The positive is it worked. The negative is I feel like I'm 400 pounds right now.
Yeah, it happens.
I've got a lot of water weight on, but, it's like I was telling you, I didn't really enjoy those last couple days, which is good, but I missed the routine of when I would do it, and so I'm having to adjust to that. And plus, today was very stressful because I've been dealing with this idiot who is threatening to sue Houston Sports and stuff over something. So, and it's basically just an attempted extortion. This guy's been after me all day, so basically, I'm very stressed over that. It's caused me mental anguish. And it has affected the show.
Okay.
Can we save?
Well, that's not good.
Can we save that?
So can you countersue him?
Lawyer Dave's on the case.
Okay.
So I'm pretty much going to turn it over to him because he is a badass. I didn't need that kind of crap today when I'm trying to quit smoking. I just needed a nice, calm, quiet day where I could go out for a run and, get some work done. But no, that's not what happened. So now, I'm very upset. I don't know if I can make the show. I really don't.
Uh-oh. That's bad news.
Yeah.
So what do you want to do? You want to just call it quits for the day? There's no Aggie game on today.
I guess we'll have to do the show. So what is
power
this?
Power through.
Yeah. Just know I'm under mental anguish. I want that noted for the record, sir. What is this Arian Foster and Dwayne Brown thing that you have on here, Don?
Do you guys see the story?
Yeah, I listened to the entire podcast this morning on the way in.
I listened to about two-thirds of it.
Okay.
Did
you skip the last 20 minutes where they were arguing about Nas Jay-Z?
No, I skipped that part.
Yeah, good call.
Well, who did they pick?
Dwayne Brown's staunchly in Nas camp.
Okay, I'm with Dwayne Brown.
Arian Foster staunchly in Jay-Z's camp.
Yeah, I'm with Dwayne Brown on this one.
Okay.
It was, I guess, AJ, if you want to explain it.
So basically...
So I have three cuts of audio. I have the one where he says that he gave all he has, he gave all he had in terms of like playing career and the community career, I guess, to help the community to Houston. And then he talked about the whole Obama election with Bob McNair. And then he had his kind of out when he left Houston. So if you want to set it up, we can play these.
Well, he went on Arian Foster's podcast, who, honestly, until yesterday, I had no idea Arian Foster even had a podcast.
Well, everyone has a podcast, including me. Go to iTunes and search Comicast.
Yeah, Comicast went up today. I saw it on Twitter.
Yes.
Everyone has a podcast, except for me. So
technically, you do have a podcast because our show is podcast every day, and people.
That's different.
Okay,
that's different.
Okay,
that's a that's an archiving of an actual broadcast. That's completely different.
Yeah, okay, okay.
But Dwayne Brown went on, and Arian basically said he wanted to give him a chance to tell his side of the story about his departure from Houston, how Houston tends to treat their legendary players. They were both upset about the way Andre Johnson left Houston, which they started talking about, you got 53 roster spots. You could just, and you got seven guys who sit out every week. You could just not play Andre Johnson and let him be on the team. And I'm like, dude, that's horrible business. Like you can't just be like, oh, okay. And they were comparing him to Rod Woodson. And I was like, well, yeah, Rod Woodson, I mean, they thought he could still play. The Texans knew he couldn't play, and he still wanted to get like, you know, pretty solid money. So they were like, all right, well, sorry, man, we can't help you out here. So I didn't really have a problem with the way they handled that. But I will say, and what one of the things I did learn about it was that Dwayne, when he did when he threw his fist up in New England, which it was a big deal for about, 2 days.
Right.
Because at sort of the way the story played out was people were pissed off at him for doing that. He wasn't playing at the time. He was recovering from his quad injury. And he basically, everybody was angry. So he says, okay, I want a chance to explain my side of the story. And the Texans management said, okay, we'll set up a press conference. Well, turns out J.J. Watt got hurt in that game, in the Patriots game. So they're like, well, we don't want to make light of what you've got to say, so let's wait a couple days. And then basically the Texans never gave him a chance to come out and talk about it. He said that the Texans didn't treat him well after the tainted meat scandal. They didn't believe him. And then he tore his quad at that same time. Basically, he said they distanced themselves from me completely because A, they didn't believe me that I didn't take steroids. They thought I was going to lose that appeal. And B, they thought because I was injured, I wasn't going to be able to play again. So they basically just shunned him. And when he came back, he finished out the season and he came back and he realized he was going into that next season with no guaranteed money and a team that had shown that they didn't really believe in him and he had to kind of prove them wrong. So he wanted a deal that guaranteed him some money. He said, if I got hurt in training camp, that was it. They were going to cut me and there was no, I was out on my ass. And he said, well, the Texans held their line of, we don't negotiate with guys with 2 years left. Except they did that exact thing with J.J. Watt. No big deal. And when Cushing got popped for overtraining, dude, they supported that dude every step of the way. They backed him up. You know, they gave him his love. So he felt slighted. He felt like the Bob McNair, the inmates running the prison thing, was sort of the straw that broke the camel's back for him. And he talks about how there's a lot of guys in that locker room who aren't in a position to stand up and say something because they are guys who are, let's face it, replaceable.
Right.
Or that if they don't have guaranteed money on their contract, they can just be gone. So Dwayne Brown was like, so I decided to step up and talk to, you know, to basically speak for the teammates that were upset about it. He said all his teammates were upset about that. White teammates, black teammates, everybody was upset by it. But long story short, he obviously, they soured on him. He ends up getting traded, which, I mean, typically starting left tackles in the league don't get traded in the middle of the season. It just doesn't happen. But what are the clips that we have, Jong?
So I have, so there was an incident when he was, I guess it was his second year in the league or first rookie year in the league when Obama got elected. And Bob McNair kind of huddled them around, I guess, after the election and told them something. I have that. And then I have, we can play some of it on the way back. I have the, when he was, he said he gave everything to the city of Houston in terms of him playing and giving back to the community. And the other cut is him kind of on the way out of Houston.
All right. Well, let's hear, let's just hear all of them. And I'll talk a little bit after each one.
In 2008, when Barack Obama was elected as president, that was my rookie year. And we were just out there practicing. It was, I think, OTAs or something like that. No, it wasn't. Was it January? It might have just been the end of the season, but we were out there practicing. So he, you know, he rarely comes down and just kind of addresses the team at the end of practice. But for some reason today, you know, everybody's out there and he just kind of gathered everybody up and started the conversation off like, well, I know a lot of you guys are happy right now. And I'm like, the fuck? You guys, y'all happy? Like, he's like, you know, it's not the result that we wanted. You know, but we're just going to try to rally around this guy and get this thing moving in the right direction. And who's like, what the fuck is going on?
That shit like, is insane.
This is a football team at practice, you know. And
he's expressing his disdain for the current president.
It was visible, written all over his face. And we're just like, yeah, right. We are happy. You're right.
That came up because of the inmates' comments that they're trying to set up, because he was Duane Brown was saying that's not the first time this kind of stuff happened with Bob McNair.
I've been around Bob McNair. He loves to talk politics. He's also not very shy about what side he's on. I think it's very – that's something he shouldn't have done, frankly. I mean, you don't go try to – especially when – I know he gets emotional about these things, but – I'm with those guys. You shouldn't have done that. It's my opinion. You don't want to alienate your players over politics.
That's kind of where I'm at. I mean, like, you know, the players weren't... It's not like the players were rubbing it in his face.
No. No. I mean, that's the thing. So...
And if you want to...
Just let it go.
If you want to continue, we'll play more.
There's some more when we come back. It's The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
From the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
When you get to a point where I'm able to use my leverage, I have to use it.
You have to.
Like, I've gotten to, you know, at that point I was 9 years in, and I've had a pretty damn good 9-year career.
Right.
And so I have to use that at that point, because if not, I could have went to training camp, got injured, and I didn't have any guaranteed money on my contract.
Right.
So I could have got cut right there, and that was that. Mm-hmm. That would have been that. You know what I mean? And people don't realize that. All they see is, oh, I still get motherfuckers hitting me up like, you shit it on the city of Houston. Like, how how does that happen? Like, how can you say I shit it on the city of Houston? Because football.
So I get
like I've done a lot for the city in general. I love Houston. Like, Houston will always have a special place in my heart. I love the city of Houston.
Right.
I've done so much, you know, as a player and as a humanitarian, you know what I mean, for the city. And I gave everything I could to that organization.
Yeah. Duane Brown again. Yeah, he was out helping with Harvey relief.
Yeah.
While he was about to get traded. I like Duane. I do too.
And I think Duane kind of got... I don't think Texans fans treated Duane right on the way out. I think that, and you go look at his Twitter and the things people are saying to him, they're still not treating him right. And I get it. You know, he's not a Texan anymore, and he.
But that's how fans are. Actually, Dell wrote about that. You embrace Chris Paul now. When your guy gets traded, he's not your guy anymore. So he must be a bad person, and that's not it. And in this case, I think it was. I mean, I don't think the Texans did right by him, to be honest.
I don't think so either. But I also think that there is just sort of a, and I don't want to get into the, you know, the way black people are treated in professional sports is different than others, but there's a systematic sort of way that the owners treat players and always have, and they just sort of treat them like they are disposable parts. And it can make for uncomfortable relationships. And one of the things, and now don't get me wrong, one of the things they talked about in that podcast, Jung, and I don't know if you heard this part, where they're talking about, you know, I could be cut tomorrow and no one's going to complain, you know, and there's guys getting cut every day now. And there's nobody being like, oh, why didn't they honor the contract? But if you don't show up to training camp, they're going to be like, why aren't you honoring your contract?
Yeah.
The one thing I will say about that is that's what your union collectively bargained for. You know, in baseball and basketball, that doesn't happen because those unions collectively bargained for that. So I'm sort of on, like, I'm not saying get the guys shouldn't be allowed to hold out. Because, I mean, if your situation's not right, then yeah, that's, like he said, it's the only leverage that you've got. But when you're not helping the team anymore and it's going to help the cap to get rid of you, I don't feel bad for guys when they get cut.
No.
So, because that's the way the contracts are done in the NFL. You know, is it fair? Probably, I don't think so. But if I were the owner and it were, or the GM, would I rather have an albatross contract or be able to get rid of it? Of course I'd rather be able to get rid of it. So until that's collectively bargained for, it's hard to take the player's side on that.
Well, in Dwayne's case, I still think the team should have at least give him a one-year extension, at least give him some more guaranteed money up front in that. And, I mean, he's still got – well, I assume he's still got something left. He didn't play very well for the Seahawks, but
– made it to a Pro Bowl.
Yeah.
I mean, playing only 9 games, he made it to a Pro Bowl. He started out really well for the Seahawks, and then he finished the season poorly.
Yeah.
Because it's funny, the first few weeks, Pete Carroll was singing his praises like, man, what a great deal we got here.
And then it was,
this
didn't work out.
It's not really a great fit, but he's still there. He's going to be there next year.
Yeah.
So, the guy can still play. And the reality is the Texans had no one to replace him. They didn't have a solution to fill that role. They got rid of him. It wasn't because of his performance. It was because I think it's partly because they didn't like the anthem thing, and I think I think it's partly because he was the one who was most vocal after the inmates running the asylum or inmates running the prison comment,
which was a dumb comment. And
of course it was dumb.
Yeah.
So I think it just became and you know there's some people out there who are like, well, he was becoming a cancer. It's like, I mean, why? By actually speaking out against someone who said something dumb, should they have all just been like, oh, yeah, you're right, boss. The inmates shouldn't be running the prison. This is a prison. We're the inmates. We should be good boys. I mean, it's just a ridiculous thing to expect from him. You all right over there?
Yeah, my cord got tangled up.
So. Why is the window in your way all of a sudden? I moved
the bigger chair over here. Which I'm trying to adjust to.
Okay.
Because I don't really like the one I was using.
Okay.
So I'm trying this chair.
Okay.
I like the chair better, but there's not enough room for it.
Do you want to, at the break, do you want to switch to this one?
No, I'm fine. It'll be fine. Okay. I just got to quit moving because trying to move it around is the problem.
Okay.
I move around a lot while we're doing the show.
Right.
Yeah. So that's why when the microphone's always an issue.
We have one more clip.
It was just too far gone. Like a lot of people like, well, how would you leave? You know, you got good young quarterback came in, like, why would you not want to be there? And it's like, it was bigger than football for me at that point.
Right.
Like,
I would disrespect it, man.
Right. Like, you know what I mean? I can't walk in that building and only and play football. Like, you know what I mean? Like, you have to interact with these people at some point. And I'm not one of them people that can just fucking fake my way through.
Whoa.
I can't. You know what I'm saying? Like, it was just too far gone and the departure was needed. And it was, you know what I mean? It had nothing to do with me wanting to get out of Houston. Or me wanting to leave my teammates. Right. Like, not at all.
Right.
But, you know what I mean? The relationship just fucked up.
Some relationships just got severed. And yeah.
That's what it was, man. You know what I mean? And so, you know, I came back. That was so bittersweet because I know I won't be there long. Right. You know what I mean?
Anytime you're about to depart from a team, the writing's on the wall and everybody kind of knows it.
Yeah, so I came back for that week. And knowing that happened with him, like, you know what I mean? I had to voice it. I had to voice my displeasure.
You're talking about Bob, you know, the Bob McNair comments.
Yeah, when them comments came out, I had to voice it. And there were so many people that wanted to, but again, that fear,
right?
The fear factor was there, and they didn't. I was like, you don't have to. I will.
Yeah. Well, I don't know how much of that you caught because we may have missed a bomb there.
Yeah.
But basically, he was talking about how the relationship was so damaged that even when he did come back this last season, what did he play? One game.
Yeah.
He knew that he couldn't. He was at that point the environment was too damaged for him to work his way back into normalcy. And it just had to change. And I believe him when he says he didn't want to leave the Texans. I really do believe he wanted to retire a Texan. But I also don't blame him, you know, after all that. And you never hear that side of it. You know, the owner never comes out and says, yeah, we told Dwayne we were going to let him talk about raising his fist and address the fans who were upset at him about that. But then JJ got hurt and we decided it wasn't a great time. And then we started ignoring his requests after that and just never allowed it. The team's not going to come out and say that. And this is really the first that Dwayne's brought up how it went down. And I have no reason not to believe him, to be honest. I mean,
but I also kind of feel like, you know, that's one where he should just do it himself. You don't need team's permission to go out there and say that. You know, he could have gone after practice, pulled some reporters over and say, here's why I did it.
Yeah, and, that's true.
You know, what are they going to do?
Trade him to the Seahawks.
No. Yeah. But that's the thing. Take a little bit of responsibility for that.
No, that's fair.
You know, I mean, I would have, if I were the owner of the team and I had a problem with the guy, I would have talked it out and kept him because he's important.
Yeah.
He was one of the more important players on your team. And that's something that I think they should have worked out together. But, yeah, I also think it never stopped Arian Foster from saying things when he wanted to say things.
Right, but Arian Foster also got cut before his contract was up.
You know, he was also injured and beat up, and mainly because Bill O'Brien kept throwing him out there in games that were long decided.
Right.
So, any basketball plays tonight for the people?
Yeah, I've got a handful. 4-3 last night. Not exactly what we wanted, but I mean it's in the positive.
We had another hockey win for the people too.
There you go. I've got a handful of plays tonight, including some local plays, Fred.
All right, well, we'll do that when we come back.
All right.
That. It is the Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
From the ESPN 97.5 Traffic Center, this report is sponsored by CC's downtown on 59 southbound at Pease. Watch for stall in a right lane. There's also a problem out on the west, same Houston Tollway, northbound at West Road. Now at CC's, you can order your own personal pizza. There's thousands of ways to customize it your way, included with your buffet. Just $5 and change at CC's. Dine-in only. Price may vary. Restrictions apply. From the ESPN 97.5 Traffic Center, I'm Tiffany Terrell.
From the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz.
One of the things that was the most... Now, there was a lot of good in that interview, in that podcast. There was a lot of stuff that I found interesting. I don't think I could regularly listen to Arian's podcast. Like, because he was talking to Dwayne, it made it interesting to me.
Yeah.
But Arian argues about the dumbest stuff. Like, Dwayne Brown was trying to say that he was blessed with the gifts that you need to play this game. And Arian was like, no. You busted your ass. You weren't blessed with any gifts. Like, nobody gave you anything. And he was like, well, you know, I was blessed to, like, be 6 foot five and 350 pounds and be able to move. And Arian's like, no, because I can't do math. So, like, I don't even know what the hell he was talking about. But
and,
like,
and I think he was trying to argue that people that are smart aren't blessed either.
Yeah.
And Dwayne is like, no, they're blessed because they're mentally, they're able to do things that other people can't.
And then he said something about, like, believing in God is the worst thing we can do to our kids because it's like, I don't know. I honestly, like, there was about a 15-minute part of that interview where it was just like, what the hell is he talking about? And Dwayne tried to argue with him for a little while, but then he was finally like, all right, well, we're just talking about different things here. But he was basically saying, like if I were born and said, oh, I want to be a left tackle in the NFL, it just wouldn't be in the cards for me because physically I'm not built to do it, even if I busted my ass. You know what I mean? Like, and my brother's a good example. My brother was a really good high school football player, like an all-state caliber interior lineman. But he also realized that he wasn't physically blessed with the natural size that it would take to continue playing at the next level. And so, you know, it's not always about how hard you work or how good your technique is. Sometimes there's limitations on that because you're just not big enough, you know, like I'm sure.
Or athletic enough.
Like what if Jong's, you know, said, I want to be in the NBA. Like that was his dream as a kid. I'm going to be in the NBA. And he went out and worked on his handles every day and shot his 1,000 free throws a day and just grinded. At the end of the day, how tall are you, Jong?
Like 5'7".
Yeah. A 5'7" Asian dude isn't going to make it in the NBA. I mean, let's just be real.
Jeremy Lin did.
Jeremy Lin's not 5'7".
He's 5'8".
But it's just, at some point your physical body is limited. Yeah, it doesn't allow you to do every single job.
Hey, I wanted to play quarterback in the NFL. I didn't have that physical skill set. Yeah. So, and you have to realize it at some point. And I guess guys.
Like it's like me saying, I grew up wanting to be a horse jockey.
Yeah.
But I also grew up to be 6'3". That would be, I wasn't naturally gifted what it would take to become a horse jockey. So, it works both ways, obviously, but everybody's got their own natural gifts, and it's a matter of how you nurture them.
Well, that's coming from a guy that thinks that he could kill a wolf or beat up a wolf, so.
Yeah.
That's true.
Yeah.
That's true.
So he's a little.
He's a lunatic. You can't fight a wolf. He doesn't have opposable thumbs.
Forgotten about that.
Moron.
Well, so. Because I was tied up with this today, I didn't get to see this story. So would you guys say that this has affected my performance on the show today? That I was not prepared for the story because I hadn't seen it?
No. Oh, yes.
Yeah, thank you. John, would you agree?
Hell yeah.
Thank you. Okay, that's all I needed. Okay.
Is this a reason for you to go back to smoking?
No, No. About this lawsuit threatening.
Oh, okay. Yeah. You really sucked at this.
Thank you. Steven said, what kind of person would sue sports and stuff? Your resident weather guy is also a lawyer willing to help if possible. I might hit you up, but I think Dave's got us covered here. I don't think.
So what exactly are they accusing you of?
Copyright infringement for a photo.
Oh, okay. That
didn't even come from. Well, I don't want to talk about it, but we're fine. I feel like, I feel like we did nothing wrong. So what I think it is just a pure shakedown. That's all it is.
Yeah.
And I really shouldn't say any more until, you know, in case there is a legal action. And then I would love to have my day in court. You know, I watch a lot of Law and Order, man.
Yeah.
I would love to be able to defend myself. Well, it wasn't really me that did it, but I'd still like to defend the website. Kyle puts it pretty well. Says pro athletes have to work their asses off, but without an extremely base level of talent, they wouldn't become one. Absolutely. I mean, it's like anything else. The talent that it takes is one thing. And you see it with a lot of guys. See, I think the reason Arian probably said that is he's one of those guys that's had talent his whole life.
Yeah.
And he hasn't had to be the guy who maybe wanted to be great, but was, you know, 5'7" and 140 pounds. Right. So Nick says all he has to do is get a stick and that wolf is done. Let's not start the wolf conversation again. It turned into a whole show of fighting animals, didn't it? Well, one thing I wanted to get to today, and well, we're running out of time in this segment, so maybe we'll do it next segment. But man, you can't. Apparently, you can't say anything anymore. There's so many things. There's like three stories today about this that I want to get into, and I want you to tell me if any one of them makes any sense to you, and if we can even say anything on the show anymore.
All right.
But let's do that next segment.
Well, I have one too. I don't know if it's on your list or not.
Do you? So we have four.
Is one of them the Black Panther stuff?
I didn't have that, but that's a good one to get into.
Yeah, I think me and AJ had this discussion before the show with other people.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, actually, I do think I have it on there, but I didn't have it grouped with these other ones. But now that
okay,
you mention
we can talk about
but
it.
No, now that you mentioned it, makes perfect sense. We were supposed to give people picks this segment. Can we do that real quick?
Well, yeah, I can do that real quick.
Yeah,
I am on tonight. Murray State -10. There's a lot of favorites in here, so it's not my usual MO, but there's a lot I like tonight. Purdue -10, Arizona -1. Started out as +1, which is where I got it, but I mean that doesn't really matter. St. Mary's -8, Marshall -8.5 against your Rice Owls.
Okay.
And Coug +3.5, my only underdog.
Wow, that number
Coug
went
plus
down.
+3.5 against Cincinnati. I think they give a good showing tonight. I think they actually even win tonight.
All right.
Cincinnati did a really good job of holding Rob Gray in the first game. That's going to be tough to replicate. And Cincinnati tends to turn the ball over at a much higher rate on the road. And Samson likes to press at home. So I think it's a good spot for UH.
And I think this UH team is getting better game to game, too. All right, I have two hockey plays. I will tell you, though, usually when I have two plays, that's when I don't do well. I'm on a 9-1 run right now. So if I have one game a night, I'm usually money. Well, the last 10, I've been money every time except for one. So here we go. Arizona at home -105 against Montreal. Second of a back-to-back for Montreal. Montreal sucks. That's a tough trip. Arizona 6-5-5 in its last 16 games. So you look at their record and you say these guys are awful, but the young guys are figuring it out. They're playing better. They're getting some good goaltending, -105 on that. And this one is borderline because the number's getting too inflated for me now. When it was 185, I was on it, but now it's 195. Vegas at home against Edmonton.
All right.
Edmonton's a complete disaster. So, so those are the two I have. Hopefully we'll keep it going tonight, but I know how these things go. All right, guys, got to tell you about Texans Can Academies. And listen, man, this is a really, really cool place. And what they do is they take in kids that have dropped out of other schools or are thinking about dropping out because maybe they can't even get to school. They have transportation problems. Maybe they need glasses and they can't even see what's in front of them. You know, maybe they have jobs and they're supporting their family and the hours don't let them go to school. Well, Texas Can Academies works around all of those things. And so many of them go on and graduate. They do great things, become part of the community, and go on to help others. And so with a simple donation of a vehicle, you can change a life, and you can change a lot of lives and do a lot of good. And it doesn't matter what kind of shape it's in. It could have flood damage. It doesn't matter if it's running or not, even if it's in good shape. If you just had it sitting out there and maybe had it in the garage, you're thinking, I might fix it up. I might sell it. Well, donate it. Car, whether it's a truck, it could be a motorcycle. It could be a tractor, anything. And it doesn't matter if it's running or not. Just give them a call, and you donate. They're going to come and tow it free of charge, process all the paperwork, and your donation is tax-deductible. And if you can hear my voice on the radio, it doesn't matter where you are, they will come and tow it. If you donate today, become the next Blitzer to step up, you're going to get a free $50 Visa gift card. Please give them a call, 713-225-4226. 713-225-4226, or go online to HoustonCarsForKids.com. Right off the car, not the kid.
From the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. 713-780-ESPN is your number.
Um, Sorry, I drink coffee before the show. I'm like, there's going to be a just monstrous belch at some point. But I'm stifling it so far. I had the... You tell me if this is good luck or bad luck.
Okay.
The Starbucks at Westheimer and Post Oak.
Yeah.
There's usually a bit of a line there.
Just a little bit.
That's a big one, but there's a lot of nice scenery in that place.
Well, I drive through.
Oh, okay. Well, never mind.
I drive through.
Then why go there? But that's okay.
Now, sometimes
There's one on Chimney Rock in Richmond.
Yeah, right over here, and there's never anybody there.
Okay.
For future reference.
That's good to know. But I don't like to go down to Richmond. I don't know, because then I just feel like it's a blown tire waiting to happen. Either way, sometimes I'll stop at the one at Uptown Park if I've got time to like get out and get a coffee, because the wait is shorter there, but they don't have a drive through. But this time I was like, okay, I'm going to drive through, and everything seems to be normal. I ordered my drink, and I only had to wait behind one car before I got to the talk box. I ordered my beverage. And then the line moves. And when I'm one car from the window, the woman in front of me is arguing about something on her receipt something.
That's the worst.
For 5 minutes. At least five
Why
minutes.
Why is it we always get these people? I had the ATM girl. You get this.
So I don't want to honk because...
Okay.
Reality is these people are making my drink. And I know that's who you don't mess with. You don't mess with the people who handle your food or your drink in this case. And I don't want them to think that I'm honking at them, the Starbucks people,
right,
when I'm really just annoyed at the fact that if you've got something that's that much of an issue, you don't just park and take your ass inside and fix it. You don't do that kind of business through the drive-thru. So that was the bad luck. The good luck was when I finally got there, they were like, this drink's on the house. Would you say that's a good experience or a bad experience?
Well, I mean, that's a natural thing. They should do that.
Okay. Saved me $6. Jeez. But it did
take... What the hell are you getting? Like triple latte, macchiato, something?
I got the venti flat white, because that doesn't have a lot of junk in it. It's basically just espresso with... and I get coconut milk.
Oh, okay.
Espresso with coconut milk foam, and then I have them pour some cinnamon powder on top. That's been my all, because I used to drink those caramel macchiatos, and that thing is just, I mean, it's a
sugar, basically.
It's a sugar bomb, and it's like a 1,000 calories if you get a big one. This one is like, it's basically just
espresso and milk.
Fuel.
Yeah.
You know, it's a little bit of, and it's not very much milk. It's a little bit of coconut milk and a lot of espresso. And then I pour some cinnamon on top of it to give me a little bit of a flavor. But that's a general Starbucks drink. $6 is if you get a large anything at Starbucks.
Because all I ever get there.
You drink black coffee.
I just drink black coffee. Right. Yeah. So it's like if I get a venti, it's what, $2?
Yeah. I can't drink black coffee. I'm not that hard.
Mm. Yeah, well, balances off all the liquor I drink.
Yeah.
713-780-ESPN is your number if you want to get in. And somebody says, finally, I make some plays early in the day, and Fred and AJ agree with me.
There you go.
I hope you win some money. I know it's. I just know it's about to slap me right back in the face here.
Right. So. That's how I knew that was coming too. But it is what it is. I'm still doing okay, and that's what I need to keep telling myself is, you know, I'm not going to stop shooting because,
right,
I'm in a cold streak, because I'm still performing at a pretty strong level overall.
Yeah, and so that's because you're one of the future guys that came back. We know.
I don't think so.
Big Rob said he had an ATM guy today, too. Dumbass put like 4 cards in. Who does that? That's probably a guy who only has like $20 on each card. But,
Yeah, that's tough. I've got, maybe later on in the show, over the last week. And you know me, I normally do like, I don't like to do futures bets in college basketball.
Yeah.
But every once in a while, I'll throw one down just to, and I normally like to do like the running sort of parlay, like the money line, just kind of go over and over and feed it into itself. But I did make a couple plays, and I'll share those with the people later on. There's a couple that I feel decent about. So,
yeah, I always kind of I monitor the NHL because there's always a couple teams that I think offer some value. And, man, people are just catching on now because one team that I've sort of been following here and thinking I might throw some bucks on is Boston. They're down to 6.5 to 1.
Oh, boy.
That's too low. So,
what's how would you feel about Tampa?
I think Tampa is
are they the favorite?
They're the favorites, yeah.
Okay.
I mean, they're plus 500. And even Toronto, who they were 15 to 1 when the season started, is plus 800, okay, which is too low. Vegas plus 650. I think the value might be, well, see, even like Winnipeg to me is only plus 1,000. And that's a team that, man, they should be 15, 16.
Yeah.
So I'm not really getting any value anywhere right now. So for that, I'm probably not going to mess with much. But, yeah, LA Kings plus 2,300, maybe. But, I mean, I think Tampa's clearly the best team. I think Tampa and Nashville right now look like the two teams that if I had to pick for the finals, that's who I would pick right now.
And you'd pick Nashville to win, right? Come on, man.
Probably.
Okay. All right. That's
probably.
All right. There
but,
we go.
How confident are you in the Rice game from one of our tweeters?
I mean, 8.5 points is a lot. Marshall's pretty good, but they're on the road. They start really slow on the road every single game. But that's, I mean, if there's a team that you can start slow against and be okay, it's Rice, because Rice is, I mean, they're really, really, really bad. And they are a zone team, strictly matchup zone. And the kind of offense that Marshall plays is, I don't want to say zone proof, but it's pretty close to zone proof. Hmm. So they should be okay against Rice. I think they'll end up winning by 15 or so.
It wasn't quite as bad as yours, but last night I stopped by Specs on the way home. And by the way, Specs on Valentine's night is one of the saddest places in the world.
Oh, is it?
Yeah, because the people there are very lonely people who are just going to get alcohol, and there's not many of them. And it's one of the few nights where that place isn't packed. But there were these two ladies in front of me who did the pay with change thing, which I hate. And then they want to sign up for a Specs card, and there's only like two aisles open because there's nobody there.
Let's make it like by 2020. You know how like they made the cutoff where you had to have a chip on your credit cards?
Yeah.
Like how about by 2020, everybody has to have Apple Pay on their phone? So that way, there's no more fumbling around with change. Let's just get rid of change altogether. Let's make it a change-free society.
You know, it's cool now. You can pay straight from like your text messages through Apple Pay.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Well, and also a lot of people use Venmo too.
Yeah.
But see, old people don't do that. Old people want to put quarters and nickels and dimes.
Or write a check at a grocery store.
I did make a mistake. Like, I don't know how it happened, but I have there's a blackjack app on my phone. It's not for real money. It's just like messing around. So if I'm bored, sometimes I'll just pass time playing hands of blackjack. You can buy chips on there. I don't know why you would, but it's possible. So apparently somehow I'm carrying my phone around and I look down and I thumbprint confirmed something.
Oh, yeah.
I bought $100 worth of chips on a fake blackjack game. I was like, no. So I email the app and I'm like, hey, this is a mistake. They never get back to me. I get with Apple and be like, hey, I don't want this. This is a mistake. They're saying we can't resolve this issue. So now I have like a million chips on this fake blackjack game that I refuse to even play with them because I'm still waiting for them to be like, because I know as soon as I play with those chips, they're going to be like, oh, you used them. So they're going to be like, oh, we would help you, but you used those chips. So we're going to have to deny you. But yeah, it can happen. There are some downsides to it. So right after I threw up for wasting $100 on the free blackjack game, I called Dirt Free Carpet. And if you've been putting off cleaning your carpets, your air ducts, your tile, your upholstery, now's the time to do it. 35% off any cleaning service with Dirt Free Carpet's 35% off sale. All you got to do is give them a call. tell them you heard about us here. Tell them you heard about them here on our show, and they'll hook you up. Nobody deep cleans like Dirt-Free Carpet Cleaning. Satisfaction's guaranteed. Your carpets are going to be fresh, deep cleaned, without soap, without unhealthy dirt-attracting chemicals. They've been doing this for over 30 years with the best technology in the game. They can clean it all, and right now, you can get 35% off any cleaning service. 281-DIRT-FREE, 281-347-8373. Tell them you heard about it from me, and you'll get 35% off any cleaning service, and they'll throw in a free speed dry with a carpet cleaning. That's $100 value. 281-DIRT-FREE, 281-347-8373 for dirt-free carpet.
This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.